Americanworkersradio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And as you know, if you live in our broadcast area, just tune on the radio however you do it. If you're driving in the car, anytime, you can always go to your radio and the broadcast is there. Also, if you're near a computer or you can listen on your phone as well, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. If you have Alexa in the house, all you have to do is say, Alexa, 860 AM radio, and our gang of panel members and myself will come up and we're going to have a very nice program today. If you received one of our emails this morning, send it off to a family member or friend, because that's how we generate more and more listeners from all over the USA. We're promoting our theme. 2020 is going to be a great year, and the theme is Support American Made First. I have never seen more happy people with that theme like I have in the last 6 or 8 months. I want to take this opportunity to say a special thank you to Mark Andel. You know him as the founder of the Made in America store. He has a great internet site. And by the way, you can go to his site simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Made in America store link, and you'll see what Mark has to offer. Also, Mark has a show each week, and that show is also connected to our radio broadcast right there on the front page under that Made in America store link. You can go there and hear recent broadcasts of Mark Andel's show. Also, a special thank you to Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, always watching what's going on. Happy to hear great reports from Larkin. And then Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, who also does a podcast. And you can click on Rich's picture, and of course, you'll be able to access his podcast as well. Richard, it really lets you have it on his broadcast, which is the way I like it. But also, I want to say a special thank you to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, who does a great job. I want to tell you, we're one of the best shows accessing people and the best program where people are able to know how to get to it without any problem. I also want to say a special thank you to Mike Sessions. He is doing a great job, and as you know, he's for Go for Made in the USA, and there is a link to the American Made app, and put it on your phone, and then you'll be able to just hit that and hear rebroadcasts of our show. You'll be able to access stores and products that are made in America, thanks to Mike Sessions and his great work. Also, a very special thank you to Curtis Ellis. He's an unbelievable guy and unbelievable people who have been involved helping the president and vice president with this United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement are at the White House today as they are gathered to sign the agreement into law. As you know from listening to Curtis, that was agreed to by Mexico and Canada and the United States under the leadership of President Trump for some time. However, because of all the other activities taking place in the Congress, they did not bring it up for a vote, and it sat there for a while, but now it has moved. And of course, today is signing. I wish I could have seen that many months ago, but they say sometimes you have to wait for some good things to happen. But that is where Curtis is today. So I'm offering his best wishes for all of you, everybody who is promoting the American Made effort. We had a great rally in Wildwood, New Jersey yesterday. Unbelievable amount of people came out. In fact, that part of the ocean front in Wildwood is normally closed down because it's pretty cold down there at this time of year. But it was fully operational yesterday. Everybody, the restaurants, the hotels, I mean, you name it, it was like it was just a cold summer evening. The people came out. It was just almost unbelievable. I did not go. I was unable to go, but the people that I have close friends down there, some family, told me that they have never seen anything like it. The positive attitude was something that the people were so impressed with. And they left there with even a more positive attitude. And of course, everyone said this is their motto for this year. Support American made first. Support the registered Democrats and Republicans. They were very upfront about that. Who are promoting American first. We can't distinguish one over the other. If there are Democrats and Republicans pushing the American-made movement, we have to support them. It's those who've been sleeping forever and ever that we have to get rid of. There is a register to vote link right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I'm urging all of you to put that out to family members and friends. As we said 1,000 times over the years, we want to get as many people out to vote. Whatever happens in the end of the vote count, we know what the will of the people is. Whether it's Democrats and Republicans or independents, we want to know what the people want. Also, right under the register to vote link, there is a very well done site. It is ways to contact your government official. There's no excuse anymore. I don't know how to contact them. Yes, you do. You go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and you click on that link and you go immediately. It has the address, the phone number, the email, everything that you need to contact your local people. Give them a little bit of your mind. Well, that's what's on my mind. My compliments to the many people from our area that went to that rally yesterday. I was glad that the weather was, you know, sunny, but, you know, it was 40 degrees. So down there by the coast, it's pretty rough up in Wildwood. But the people who came back, people who called me last night, called me this morning, said, Michael, it was a pleasant event. There were good, positive people. I was disappointed only with one thing, and that was when I watched the news last night, there were thousands and thousands of people outside the auditorium and thousands inside the auditorium, but some of the news media focused on the 50, and I mean 50, protesters. That's what disturbed me. I thought to myself, what are we up against? Why are we doing this? But they wanted to show, and I'm very glad that they showed on our local television stations the amount of people, because it made them look foolish. It made them look foolish when they went to one side with thousands. I'm talking huge thousands. The auditorium was mobbed, and yet they focused on the 50 first. Well, today I'd like to ask our panel members to focus on some of the important things that our movement has done and how we can even benefit more working age and able-bodied Americans. I'm going to open up our subjects. Ask me any question today. I'm ready. I'm gunning for bear today. So I want to hear it all. Whatever is on your mind, let our supporters know. First of all, I'm going to call on Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you? And I think Rich is on, Larkin, Henry, and Curtis is out there. Doing good. It's January. We're almost into February, so 2020 is moving right along, Mike. We're doing a lot of planning for the Made in America 10-year anniversary, which is going to be celebrated this May 16th. And on Armed Forces Day, we can't believe 10 years has went by almost, Mike, since we started this movement, along with you and your team, too. But a lot going on with General Welding. We're keeping busy. You know, the rally last night, I just went online and watched, and I couldn't believe the people, too. You know, but now that you say on the other channels, I didn't watch the national news last night, but where they show the protesters. But, boy, is it positive what I see. You know, on the video, looks awesome and very happy. It just shows how you can show what you want to on that and push what you want to on that national
That's
media.
Right. And I saw firsthand how the news was tainted. And
yeah,
I had people who lived 10 blocks from the convention center who told me they're in because there's no way to move around. The restaurants were packed. Everything was packed. All of the resorts. It was like a summer night, a cold summer night. And
yeah,
it was mobbed. They've never seen anything so pleased. Of course, the business people were very happy, but it was also a very positive event. And shame, shame on the stations that focused on any kind of negativity. Yes, Mark.
Absolutely. No, you know, and just with the Made in America movement, we've been talking, like, and thank you for bringing up my other show, and we always have guests on and CEOs and, you know, inventors and entrepreneurs, but there's so much positive going on. That's what's neat to watch the rally. You see the positive, and that's what we've got to stay in. You know, up in Buffalo, it's January. You know, it's cold and snowy, and, you know, not a lot of sunlight up here, but you still got to stay positive, stay focused on our mission, which is to create and save quality livelihoods in the United States of America by increasing American manufacturing and for our children's future. And that's so important, Mike. I say that mission a lot because we like to keep our team, you know, focused on it. And we're going to hit 10,000 products this year. And we support well over 500 privately owned American businesses. We're talking to them all the time. You know, the businesses, they're getting stronger. It is such a shame you don't hear this on TV. But we've made a difference. Made in America can be even bigger and stronger. We're actually going to be involved with a little pilot TV program that actually is going to show some young guys, 17 years old, becoming men and learning how to work with their hands, Mike. And it's kind of neat. I can't say a ton about it yet, but they're going to do a little filming here next week. And it's going to show, you know, because one size fits all, the college isn't for everybody. A lot of people know that. Kids need a purpose. And we give a lot of people chances, you know, with Made in America General Welding. And I think we got to keep on this the same path, Mike, we've been on. But I'm seeing a lot of positive change, even our vendors moving in the right direction. It's just a shame you don't hear more on the national level.
You're right. And Mark, I'm going to ask you something. Your 10th anniversary. You know, I remember speaking with you on air when you had 500 products. That's almost unbelievable. Here we are up to 10,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, we started April 3rd, 2010. We had 50 products only, really, when we opened that store. It was still a neat Saturday. And I remember talking to you, and I think Rich was on the first time when, you know, Sue said, hey, you know, Michael Blehak wants to interview you. And I'll never forget sitting in that store parking lot in my truck talking to you. You know, I forget how many years ago that was now, probably five or six. And it's been amazing, the journey. We're still alive and well, and it's just a shame. We always said from the beginning it wasn't sexy enough for everybody. But once you educate and raise awareness, which we keep consistently doing, people are realizing that they've got a lot of power with that dollar in their pocket. And if they stick to that, you know, that's the problem with the media now. You turn it on and you're seeing all this negativity against a great man, I think, doing a lot of great, good things. Not perfect, but we are going in a much better direction than we were the day before he was elected.
You know, I agree with that. And by the way, is anyone that you know or any of you listening or any of you on our panel perfect? No, absolutely not. Give me, like Rich says so often, show me a person and I'll show you something, a crime. In this case, show me a person and I'll show you a flaw. No one is perfect. People are speaking, they said yesterday again, no one elected Donald Trump because he was going to be a purist of any type. They knew his life, but they knew his abilities. I was taken, you know, back by that. I thought, wow, that's a good statement. And that's the truth. No one is electing a king or a queen or anything like that when they are going to the ballot box. They're looking for someone who's going to lead them on a positive way for the future. What the hell is going on in this country? I mean, other countries have gone up the scale. Look at how employment in some of the third world countries has just doubled, tripled within the last 2 and 3 years. Why is that? Why wasn't that happening in America for 30, 40 years? We could have done that. Why did these people in Washington, 535 of them, Democrats and Republicans, are all the blame for allowing even one business to leave without asking them the question, can you stay in America and why not? We have to talk about that today. Can I turn to Dr. Loges for a minute? By the way, I want to mention that Rich Loges and his wife, Bojena, are having birthdays. So as we say in Polish, Stolat, happy birthday to Rich and Bojena Loges.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone, and to our listeners. I really appreciate it. My wife's birthday was yesterday. My birthday is tomorrow, and my mother-in-law's birthday is tomorrow, so I'll never forget my wife's mother's birthday, thankfully, because how can you forget when it's your own day? So thank you for that, Michael. And I want to, Michael, if I may, I want to, because I, and it's related to what happened in New Jersey yesterday, and for those in Pennsylvania, Michael, and in the area of our listeners who tune in weekly, and we thank them. I've got a pretty strong feeling that there are going to be more rallies coming through Pennsylvania in the coming months. As I like to point out every week, Pennsylvania, swing state, got a lot of swing voters like our great audio engineer, and the rallies are one of the ways in the campaign, Michael, to take the messaging, the sales pitch, the platform directly to the people. And I've been to several Trump rallies. They really are great events. You're around a lot of great people. And everyone there, Michael, you know, everyone has different opinions on different issues. But what the glue, the tie that binds everyone together at these events is, and I'm using my words here, these are Americans who have become overall pretty disgusted, I think, with the two-party industrial complex. They've grown fatigued of lawmakers not listening to them, not always operating in the best interests of the country, and if you saw what happened, Michael, the other day with the CNN with Don Lemon, you know, there was a guy on there, Rick Wilson. I guess he's a former Republican. Former Republican Larkin is like the new People's Temple cult in the United States. It looks like the Never Trumper, former Republican. You know, the Bill Kristol types. These people, and they got on the show, Michael, and they, you know, and they did the, you know, the snoozing mark. You know, the hackneyed cliched. Let's goof on Trump supporters, you know, let's goof on, you know, they don't know geography, they don't know how to spell, et cetera, et cetera. And the president, immediately the next day, went on the attack. And he went on the attack in support of and in defense of supporters. And don't discount that, Michael. You know, that's important because I really do think that everything that goes on, you know, you got the trade deal being signed today, over 160 federal judges, you know, unemployment, it's overall, even if the numbers are off here or there, numbers are low, you know, you've got black unemployment record low, you've got poverty rates that are decreasing, there's still more work to do, median incomes are up, and the American people are going to have a decision to make in the coming months, which is, do you want change for the sake of change, or do you want to keep the work in progress, Michael? And that's a, you know, that's a decision that's going to be made 279 days from today. So what I would tell everyone, Michael, last point, and this is sort of geared toward our audio engineer here, you know, swing voter in a swing state, we're going to earn his vote. Every American, Michael, needs to and recheck and verify that they are registered to vote. If, depending on what state you're in, if you haven't voted in many elections, you probably were purged from the voter rolls, which, by the way, I agree with, Michael. There's this whole debate in the country about whether boards of elections should remove voters off voting rolls who haven't voted in forever. Of course they should. Here in the state of Florida, Larkin, we have deceased people, out-of-state residents, and those who haven't voted in the last four elections. Their names are off the voter rolls. So along the way, Michael, it's going to happen. It's rare, but some voters who are active because of human error may have their names removed as a registered voter. Check and recheck and re-recheck that you're registered to vote. It's easy to do it. If you don't do it and you say you weren't registered, it's out of laziness, Michael.
Laziness. And by the way, you're right, Rich. I just gave everyone an easy access way to register to vote. You don't have to put anything in the mail. You don't have to do it.
Michael, it is not the government's responsibility.
Right.
To ensure that you are a registered voter. It is your responsibility as a voter to ensure you're registered.
Right. They were even trying to do some things like the motor voter registration, where you, when you went to renew your license, you were prompted to vote, register to vote, to ask if you're voting, if you're eligible to vote, if you're eligible for a license, you know, you should be eligible also to vote. And they were trying that for a while.
Why make it hard? Why make it difficult? If you're dead, I get it. Pull you off the roll. But why do I need to re-register and re-register? I mean, I am registered. I just got a notice because I moved that my place is going to be changed. But if I didn't vote in 10 years, why do I have to why make it hard?
Well, the situation is, I guess, they want to keep the interest of the register. Henry, I'm glad, is really a pusher for registration. And also, I'm glad that he just moved, so he is going to have to replace the name and his address and all. The thing that has concerned many people for many years, when it was paper registration, as Larkin can say, some of the people that were deceased for some years were still voting in any given election, mainly,
Michael,
in the primary. So that was a concern.
You need to check with your county. You need to check with your county board of elections. Everything is online. And once you verified, I just moved also recently, went on and changed my voter registration. So if you're a voter, all you have to do is do a simple internet search, County Board of Elections. If you're registered, great. If for some reason there's a problem, it's very super easy to get registered to vote.
And that is the same with that link that's on the front page of our site. That will tell you if you have a voter registration already on file, if you want to it'll ask you if you want to update it, you want to update parties, address, it's already there. It's an international voter registration bank. There is no excuse. And the reason I'm pushing voter registration so much is I want to hear from as many American people as possible. Do we want to continue on the road we are now, or do we want to go backward or go to another direction? The majority rules in America. I want to see what the majority will do. As far as I'm concerned, I'm looking out for my kids and my grandkids. I don't want them saddled up with this unmerciful debt that was generated by 535 people in Washington, D.C., because they did not promote jobs in America. They did not promote businesses in America. They promoted all kinds of programs to hide the fact that jobs were being lost in America. And it put us in terrible debt. There were various monies given all over the world. And by the way, all this that's going on with the impeachment, if it was me, I would ask many more questions than they're saying the president asked. Believe me, it would be a lot of questions to be asked. And all of the radio hosts in our area would ask more questions and better questions than I would ask. First of all, giving any type of aid to any country has to come with a checklist of things. What are you going to do that's going to help you and the American people? We should never have to buy friends. We should help our friends, but not buy them. This is whole. I would ask a lot more questions. And if there was corruption in any country that we offered aid to, it is up to the President of the United States, as the third branch of government, the chief executive officer of the United States of America, to ask those questions. One person, one body cannot give out funds like candy. You have to give it in layers. It goes from the application process, then it goes to the Treasury Department. The Treasury signs off that it's a good thing to support. Then it goes to the chief executive, who then has to ask the question, how is this benefiting America? Could you imagine us sending money to a country and they're using it for items that are not benefiting America? Larkin, how many of those people that have passed a while ago came out to vote when you were running the polls?
I was in South Philadelphia. It was nothing but legitimate voting in South Philadelphia. Are you crazy? Henry. Lean in. A little closer. Get a little closer.
I'm right here, Larkin.
Stick your chin out. Because I'm about to bop you. What, that's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard in my life, especially from anybody that has ever even driven through Philadelphia County. When you drive through, ballots stick to your car. I mean,
why not just have a system that you have a Social Security number, you're a citizen, therefore you're registered, period, the end. I show up, I show my social, boom, I'm good. What's wrong with that?
Henry,
when you use your Social Security number, it can't be used twice.
I remember sitting at the, first of all, it needs to have a picture on it, but let me just tell a story. I was sitting there, I was the Democratic representative for three precincts all in one building. And I was sitting there talking to one of the precinct captains, and we were just BSing, and a girl walked down who was a Republican. And walked in and asked me if I wanted a sandwich or did I need to take a rest or anything. And I said, no, I'm fine. And she said, who's that guy standing over there? And I said, I have absolutely no idea. And she said, well, it will be interesting to see. Should I say anything? I said, keep your mouth shut. And so we sat there, and the guy walked over. The guy walked over, presented his a license of some sort, and asked to register, asked to vote. And she said, I promise you, on my mother's name, that guy just voted up at the playground. He just voted up at the playground. I said, you couldn't. So I walked over and I said, is there a picture on that? And he said, I said, no. And I said, sir, I've got an idea that you've already voted up the street at the place. She followed him down the road from the place. They both traveled to the same precinct. It's a true story. And if I could tell you how many times that happens in Philadelphia, you would have a clear answer as to why Rich asked the question, how can the city be run by the same party for 29,000 consecutive days? They are thieves. Now, I say they. It's not just the Democrats. I'm not picking on Democrats in this case, because the Democrats, if they had the facility, would do the very, very same thing. They just don't have the organization. They don't have the big doc on their side. And I have no idea what's happened to his indictment. I don't care. All I know is that if he gets indicted and he's taken out of circulation, the elections will be a little bit fairer. They'll be a little bit more reliable. So, Henry, please, pictures,
Well, fine. Anything okay, fine. Put a picture on it. But how did what you just said make me think that? So you're saying that because people have to register, there's no more fraud? I don't understand what you just said. There's still going to be fraud. Regardless if I have to register or not, there's still going to be fraud. When I show up, they don't ask me for my picture ID. I could probably vote in four places in my neighborhood.
Yeah, why don't you? We could use the help. So I don't want to go there. I do not want one single person in the entire country denied the right to vote.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to make it exceptionally hard for them to exercise that right to vote. And it is very simple to register. There are probably, I'm going to just guess, 50 to 100 different points in the city that at one time or another, 6 months prior to the election, put up registration booths sponsored by both parties and register more people. If you're infirmed, you can get this done just as easily as anybody else.
Absolutely. There's no reason.
But no registration. Listen, every right has a corresponding duty, and it is your duty to validate your vote.
Right.
Your duty. Not the government's duty. It's your duty. So don't come up there with a fake ID, and anything I can do that's going to stop fake IDs, I'm going to do it.
And, you know, Larkin, I want to tell you that we are seeing now in the voter registration more and more people voting independent, signing up as independent. You know, because they have seen what the leadership of both the Democrats and Republicans have led to in America. So they're not happy with it. And a lot of the people are saying it's possible for a third party to come about. That's also another thing that I've been hearing. People say we're not going to go just for the same old, you know, rigmarole. Maybe it's time to put up a third party on the ballot, somebody who would lead us and tell us what they're going to do way in advance. As I'm watching what's going on with all these debates and all, there's really nothing being discussed about American workers. Nothing. Nothing about how we're going to revitalize our communities. How are we going to get more jobs, more modern jobs, more technology-driven jobs? All the technology is overseas. When I listen, and when you, any person listening right now goes, can Google, and you can look amount of jobs open in America right now. 7 million jobs are open. However, majority of those jobs are in technology. Computerized mechanisms have to be, you know, taken into consideration. A lot of our people don't have the qualifications. So they're talking more and more that they have to import people. Import. Can you believe it? Import people to keep America's industries humming. Now, of course, many of the people are now saying we got to put this stuff back into our schools, which is not going to take just 6 months or a year. So in the meantime, bring over these people on these special visas for 2 years until American level workers are available.
Michael, I just want to and again, I'm speaking just for me here. Okay. I have worked as a poll watcher, Larkin. I worked as a poll watcher in 2016 for Election Day. And in my 1 day of experience, Michael, in poll watching in Florida, which poll watchers sounds a lot like what it says, which is you're watching the flow of people coming in, watching IDs, working to ensure that the integrity of the process is maintained, not to tell someone who to vote for.
But my grandmother was eating donuts and laughing it up with her friends when she got paid to do that.
Well, I can't. What goes on in many places, right? Oh, none of us really can speak to that. What I'm saying, Michael, is that to verify whether you're registered to vote, and then if need be to register to vote are easy to do. You could do it in your underwear with a beer in your hand from the internet at home.
Absolutely.
It isn't difficult. It's not difficult to do that. So the narrative right now that is at the forefront, because most of the legacy media is it exists, not all, but most of it exists solely to get Democrats elected, which is why I call it the Democrat media industrial complex. The narrative at the forefront that's pushed is that there's a term, Larkin, you've heard forever called voter suppression. Voter suppression happens in literally every campaign that's ever been run in the history of America. It's like saying that Apple runs Android suppression. Apple works to ensure that Android doesn't get, Google doesn't get your business. Apple does. General Motors runs Ford Motor Company suppression, Michael. There's nothing illegal. No one's right to vote is taken away. So the narrative that there's suppression, listen to the propaganda closely. The way it's sold is that minorities in particular are prohibited from going to the polls with a valid ID. It's a valid ID in that district, wherever they live, and they're prohibited from voting. It is not true, Michael.
No.
It is not true. It is a lie. It is a lie that there's a widespread conspiracy to prevent any eligible voter from voting in that election. The question of why you have registration and why is it in a district and why this, why that, is the same reason that any business collects data.
Exactly
so
right.
If you're, and I'll use our great audio engineer, Henry. You know, if you get signed to a record label, the record label isn't going to send you into the middle of nowhere. They're going to send you where the audience is. They know that from the data. Politics is a business, Michael. Like anything else, and electoral politics is all about voter data. So there's no infringement on our privacy. You know, it's not big. I don't agree that it's an infringement. I don't agree it's Big Brother-ish. Just like a record label will send a band where the audience is on the data, the political election data, the voter data will send candidates to where the likely voters are. This is why the science of the data is the way it is, and we need to know who's who. Plus, remember, you have districts, right, in city councils. You have certain areas that are one area, Larkin, another area that's another. To just everybody show up and vote for wherever they are obviously is not viable. That's anarchy. People have to vote in their correct places.
That's not something I would argue with. I think you have to have a section that you have to stay within and you have to have a place to vote. That's not what my argument was at all.
Well, I agree. The system that we have in place, Rich, the system that we have in place.
It isn't difficult to get registered to vote. It simply isn't difficult.
No. The system we have in place is one thing, and everybody should have a place to report to, just like going to your place of work, going to your local store, your house of worship, whatever. The thing is, the news media many times harasses people, and they may feel, I've had it from dealing in human services. I don't go because the people ask me a lot of questions. I don't understand what they're asking for sometime. I don't want to look foolish, so I just don't go to vote anymore. It's a voter harassment. And this here is, I mean, you could go into a mixed area where somebody treats you with a little bit of, you know, disdain. I've just had another vicious, and boy, I'll tell you, I had somebody in City Hall that I had to rake them over the coals over the pronunciation of a name. The person went ballistically wild when I was able to pronounce the name. She almost like gave me an award through the phone. And I said, do you realize how stupid that sounds? Do you realize how stupid that is?
Yeah. It's almost like the credit card system with the chip in it, Rich, like data processing. Like, Henry, that's what you're thinking. You're never dumped out of the system, but you have this card. You're always registered.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, why with the chip, we just went through that.
Well, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand, for the benefit of the voter, why they don't have a card that has a chip in it.
We just went through that, changed their whole company over. And then you would never, if it was already entered, you're already entered.
Yeah, you're one done.
And Henry would be gone as long as Henry's alive.
That's, Larkin would say somebody would have five credit cards, five chips.
Yeah. So let me tell you. Let me put a bow on what Rich just said, because it's a very valid point. But here comes a little bit of my wisdom of 18 years of working a poll. What's the number one voter restriction activity or event in the country? Number one, absolutely will change an election. And we talk about rights and duties of those rights. What's the number one? Number two isn't even close. You know what it is?
What is it, Larkin?
Rain.
Rain.
If it rains on election day, you could be as much as 18 points down in the number of people that show up to the poll. And you want to complain to me about registering? Rain.
Well, I agree with that.
I want to register and vote from my home. That's what I want to do. Then I don't have to worry about the rain.
Well,
how do you think Amazon is successful? That. Do you think Amazon worries about the rain?
Well, that's Henry, that's a whole... different discussion.
As a young man, Henry has very young ideas, and that's the way it's good. It is, but we also have to take into consideration the multi levels of age voters that we have. So we have to provide everything. It probably will come to some online voting system in the future, just like we are doing now, cashing checks and making deposits online and all. It will come to that, but it's not going to happen overnight. In the meantime, we have to make sure that the people know that there's no reason for them to be left out if they're American citizens. It's very urgent that they vote.
But Michael, let me tell you how absurd, and I don't mean Larkin is absurd, what I'm going to say. Let me tell you how absurd what Larkin is saying really is. Here in the state of Florida, and I can't speak for every state, although I know all states have some form of early voting. You have weeks before Election Day you can vote.
Yeah.
Weeks! Yeah. Not an hour. Weeks! So I'm sorry. Anybody who decides to not... The number one reason for not going to the polls, Michael, whether it's early voting or Election Day, it's pure and simple human laziness. Period. You can vote for weeks early on. Mark, in New York, you've got early voting for a few weeks. And Pennsylvania, Michael, I believe it's, you have to correct me on this, but I think you guys start 2-3 weeks out also.
I don't know about that.
100% accurate. That's exactly right. You think people are going to get less lazy as time goes on? I'm trying to be proactive here.
Yeah, well, see, I like the idea of a day or maybe 2 days, period. None of this weeks in advance. How about 2 days, period? And let's get the enthusiasm of the election.
I'm fine with keeping it a week. I'm fine. I'm okay. I mean, hell, if you want to extend it out for a month, I'm fine with early voting. But electronic voting would result in, I guess, just the word that comes to mind, electronic voting, Henry, would be complete and total electoral anarchy.
I will tell you what.
It would make it easier.
And there's a lot of reasons why that is.
I will tell you this.
It'll eventually have to happen.
As things get secure and more and more. I will tell you why. I don't think that's something we can do yet, and I'll be very honest about it, because right now we're watching all of this stuff going on in Washington and in other states regarding the voting, if we don't keep track of the voting, they will say for the next year or two till the next election, somehow that voting was hacked. There's even some discussion that they, after they shut down the polls, that they'll just put the ballots aside and start working on them the next day at 9 a.m. That would be totally stupid. There is a discussion like that. I don't understand where they would get the idea. That way people would not have to be waiting up late at night and blah, blah, blah. And the workers wouldn't have to work harder because it's all computerized. I'm totally against that. I see no reason whatsoever that the winner should not know who they are that night. Unless it's so razor thin, the win or the loss. Oh, no. This is craziness. Total craziness. But see, all sorts of lobbyists and all keep this stuff moving. The American people have to show their will by going out to vote and ignore all the lobbyists, all the people that are saying, oh, it should be this and it should be that. Show up, vote. Let's see how America wants to be in the future. And by the way, we're talking a lot today about voting, but I will tell you this, in my discussions with people, and most people, that's why I mentioned earlier, many people are voting independent. They're registering and they say very proudly, I'm registered as independent. And I don't care if I can't do the primary and the whole deal. They said, we have to have open primary in all states so that I can come out. None of this. Why am I being discriminated against? Because I'm an independent voter. We've been watching all of this going on in this country for many, many years. We've been watching presidents should have brought this up. As the person in the White House, they should have said, I want to hear from all the governors. I want to hear from all the congressmen and senators. How are we going to get more of our people out to vote? We're hearing it now, but this has been going on for years and years and years. Why is that? We've been hearing about jobs leaving our country for years and years and years. No president brought it up. In my time, 30 years, I don't remember any particular president saying, I am going to have a chat with the people. I am going to the television on Monday night and say, we have to do something, ladies and gentlemen, about our jobs. I want you to support your local workers, your local businesses, your schools have to be. I've never seen a president do this. Even our president today, because there is no push from the public to do that, has to be doing it through rallies and public service announcements and things like that. He should be able to go as often as possible and set talk. The reason he's not doing that is because it would really offend the 535 people in Congress who held all this down for years and years. We discussed this a few weeks ago. There is not even one, not one of the 535 people that I can identify, and I ask all of you to identify who it is, who has been in charge of pushing businesses to expand in America and more jobs for American workers. I'd like to know who it is. I see it now with President Trump in right before my eyes. But where have they been all these years? No one. Zero. It's all been this little bubble land that they live in. Oh, look at us. We want this. We want that. A lot of these people should be retired in the next election. Not by age, but by how the people decide to vote. That they need new representation, period. And it should be representation of people who want to see America's prosperity first. Sorry about that. Tell me everything. What else have you learned about this, Larkin, this conversation today?
Well, now, you know, you made a comment earlier that I wanted to take exception with them. And then this voter thing came up, and that is, you want everybody to vote and you don't support a Republican or a Democrat. And I agree with half your statement. I want everybody to vote. I truly do. Voting is a right.
Right.
Voting is a privilege,
yes,
but it's also a responsibility. And every citizen has, I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say this. I'm going to tattoo it to my forehead. Every right in this country has a corresponding duty. Period. Amen. And it's in the case of what we talked about in the elections here, it's the American people's absolute refusal to accept that responsibility that they have to vote and that they have to cast a legitimate vote. But I can't do that because it puts me out of my way. It's so important, but I don't want to have to go down and register. You want me to walk to the corner? The next time I'm at the library, you want me to stop and register? We want to make it so easy. Oh, let's make it so burningly easy that every right that we have in this country doesn't have a duty. We're going to make it. We're going to put you on a lollipop stick, and we're going to carry you around all day long to make life real easy on you.
You're right. You're right, Larkin. It is. We've become a soft people. The media tried very hard to remold America, to soften them up. And this is what the aftermath is.
Don't let Rich go there. He'll make your diatribe sound like a like a junior senator on the floor. So, but listen.
And by the way, Larkin, let's focus a few minutes on what's happened in Washington with this impeachment trial. How do you think all of this moved?
Well, I listened to Dershowitz the other day, and the girl, Pam Bondi. I listened to these people, and I thought, how does somebody on the other side of the aisle? Because again, everybody knows I'm not an overwhelming Trump supporter. I'm really not. I like a lot of the things that he's doing, but I don't particularly care for anybody who mocks the dead. I just don't. I just don't think it's cool. I don't think it's right, especially from a leader. But at any rate,
do you think it should be ended very soon?
Oh yeah, it'll. I can promise you, it'll be over soon.
Because
what are they
going to
do?
Because every person that walks in tells me, I don't even know. Is it still continuing? They have no interest in it whatsoever. What the people are interested in is how is their bottom line being affected? Is Washington, all the leaders in Washington, doing something for my bottom line? Or is it just the president in the White House helping my bottom line? By reducing the tax regulations, it helped my company expand. By reducing taxes, by all these insane taxes that they put on people, did those taxes make businesses want to come to the United States of America, open up, expand their business, or did they want to run elsewhere? Nobody is talking about that but the guy sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Why are the 535 people being paid?
So
every American worker should put them out the door.
It's this kind of argument that is exacerbating the right and the duty issue. At some particular point as a nation, we have to look at each other and go, what do we need to do to make this a place for our children?
Right.
You know, not my paycheck and who's doing what for my paycheck today. That's the problem. We've lost complete sight of the fact that in order for this country to succeed and to continue and to be around for another 250 years, somebody has got to start being a statesman instead of a politician. So do I care what the guy in the White House is doing? Yeah, I do. But to some point, we have to concern ourselves with our country.
Larkin,
concern ourselves with
the man in the White House signs the legislation that's passed through the House and the Senate. Where is the legislation being presented on his desk? We're having a ceremony in Washington today. Where is all the other legislation that decent people, hardworking people, have been requesting for years and years? Where is the legislation about the infrastructure in the United States of America? Where is the legislation that we want our school money, our federal school money, I'd like to see that system dismantled too, our federal school dollars directed to pushing the trades and all the technologies? Oh, we're discussing it. When I call these elected people, oh, well, he's so busy. It's a very busy season. You would never be able to speak to him or his chief of staff about American workers' needs. Exactly what do you mean by that? What do I mean by that? You have a job. I tell them. I said, are you being paid to do your job? Yes. I said, well, then you're an American worker. You know, I heard something, and I asked Henry if he would do this. This was a great show. By the way, I try to be silent as much as possible, but sometimes you know how it is. I'm urging everybody to look at the front page of American Workers Radio. I want to say thank you, Larkin. You're the best. Rich, happy birthday to you and Bojena and your mother-in-law. Thank you so much for all of what you do. Congratulations on coming up on 10 years for Mark Andel, and also a special thanks to Curtis Ellis. We'll get a report next week. Kate Smith and her beautiful music is being held hostage. Her statue has been shipped to a place in Chester, and I'd like to see her put back where we could see her as a great person and as the great person that has made this selection beautiful. She's sitting there in a statuary place in Chester, Pennsylvania. We'd like to reprieve her and get her back where she should be. Thanks, guys. Thanks, all. We'll have a copy of today's radio broadcast. God bless. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.
All right, have a great weekend.